Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, now joined by one of our NFL insiders, Adam Kaplan. You can follow him on Twitter. Kaplan NFL is his handle. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good to be with you again, and I'm so glad the playoffs are here. We were able to put back the regular season, and we've rolled the clock to mid-January, and it's good to see. I'm glad we've been able to do that because it certainly was a challenging regular season. But here we are, and the Chiefs will be playing at home.
And the Chiefs will be hosting the Steelers on December 26th. They beat the Steelers 36-10 without Travis Kelce, without Nick Bolton. Tyreek Hill was limited. And so, and now T.J. Watt's going to be healthy for the Steelers. They'll be more healthy this time around as well. What do you expect from this matchup on Sunday night? More of the same, or do you think this time it'll be more competitive?
I would think more of the same, though they're healthier because in that game they had a couple key players. Pat Freiermuth, their outstanding rookie tight end, didn't play in that first matchup due to a second concussion. They had a D lineman in the rotation who didn't play in that game. Then you talked about the Chiefs guys who were not available or limited in that game. So, yeah, the Steelers don't match up well against the Chiefs. They just don't because they're very weak at corner. They've got one good corner in Joe Hayden. By the way, Najee Harris is an elbow injury. They're not willing to say 100% that he's playing. I would have to imagine, even if he's not 100% or if he has to be limited, he'll be limited. But he's got to play for them to have even a chance to compete in this game. He's looked good lately. He definitely has. And the thing is, though, they don't have a very good offensive line. That's something that has really plagued them for years. It's the one issue with their football team they've not been able to solve. Secondary would be, particularly corners, the other issue. But they'll be listen, if the weather holds up, I've not looked at the forecast yet, but if the weather holds up, the Chiefs will be able to get some plays in this game.
So with all those flaws, and I know Mike Tomlin himself said at the end of the season, look, we got a lot of warts, but they're in the playoffs. How much credit does Tomlin deserve? He seems, no matter what their circumstances, they're 500 or better team every year when he's the coach. But how much credit does he deserve for what they've done this year?
A lot, because he keeps things together. You mentioned it. He's never had a record below 500. It's really remarkable. Even the great Bill Belichick has had years that were below that, but not many in his career with the Browns and the Patriots. But when you look at the challenges here, it's Ben Roethlisberger. He's not the same quarterback. For whatever reason, and I was with the Steelers in training camp. His shoulder was healed. Remember, he had the he actually had the elbow injury, the surgery, and then he's had a shoulder issue before this season. He's got a pectoral issue, which is not fully healed, and a shoulder problem, and that would help to explain why they're not throwing the ball downfield. But a lot of the volume in the passing game is going to go to Deontay Johnson. You'll see him there. Chase Claypool, number 11, who started for Juju Smith-Schuster on the outside. He's a big guy who could run, but he's been a disappointment this season. He's not put up the productivity that they're expecting. You kind of know going in, if you're the Chiefs, what they're going to do. It'll start with the running game, and Najee Harris, who didn't do badly against the Chiefs in the first matchup, ran for about 5 yards per carry. But they got smoked in that game. They got behind early. And they really were not competitive defensively. I think that was the thing that probably would have disappointed in that game.
All right. Give us your prediction and a score for Chiefs and Steelers on Sunday night.
27-13 Chiefs on Sunday night. Look, there'll be some emotion because the players know it could be Roethlisberger's last game. Well, it will be with them. It's just a matter of, does he want to play anymore? But I think if they're being realistic and they look at their situation, they're just not very good. I give them credit for somehow making the playoffs here, but the fact of the matter is they're just simply not going to be good enough. And look, the weather, just looking at it, it's going to be cold, high 20s, but wind will be is not going to be a factor. So conditions will be fine to throw the football, and the Chiefs will come out ahead.
And you said 27-13?
Yep.
That, in Jake's language, is a cover. And so we will see if that can influence.
What is the line, by the way?
It's right now 12 and a half, Adam.
Yeah, because the problem that the Steelers guys have, they just have trouble scoring. It's really hard to watch their offense. It's actually painful. I was hoping they would make the playoffs so we didn't have to watch them anymore because it's so hard to watch them. But it'll be the Ben Roethlisberger swan song, and he'll ride off to the sunset, and that'll end it for the Steelers.
Boy, oh boy, are you you're buttering me up. I love that very much that you said that, Adam Kaplan. All right, let's get into these other games. What about the first game of the weekend, 3:30 on Saturday? You can listen to the games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Raiders at the Bengals.
Yeah, and that first matchup shocked me. I remember picking the Raiders to win that game. You know, the Bengals are so Jekyll and Hyde. They've been a streaky team. They've won three out of the last four, and I wouldn't even count last week's game. You know, the funny thing about their game last week at the Browns where they lost 21-16. They actually had an outside shot at the number one seed, depending on what would happen. But they bagged it. They didn't care. Actually, no, excuse me. It would have been the number one seed. No, they actually did. Everyone above them would have had to lose, and they didn't care about it. They didn't even care about moving up at all. They just bagged it, and they just wanted to stay healthy, and they did. They rested everyone who mattered. They treated it like the Eagles did. They treated it like a preseason game, but the thing is that no one is more loaded on offense than they are. The problem is their defense. They just don't execute very well. They've got talent. Trey Hendrickson, the DN, who signed a big free agent contract, he's lived up to it. He's been terrific. And you guys saw 2 weeks ago, the Chiefs blew that 2014 lead. They've got unbelievable firepower on offense. Joe Burrow is maybe the NFL's most aggressive thrower. He doesn't care what the coverage is. He's going to throw the football. That always gives you a chance. But in the end, as we saw against the Chiefs, the defense will not be good enough, and they're not going to go far. Every year, by the way, there's a team that, we don't expect to get somewhere. It would have been the Colts for me had they gotten in. They didn't. They choked the last two games. But I know the popular pick is the Bengals. The problem is I think people are ignoring their defense. The defense simply has not been good enough this season.
So you picking the Raiders?
I love to in this – yeah, but the Bengals, by the way, aren't a great home team. They've had some really bad losses. Who am I going to pick in that game? I'm going to reluctantly pick the Bengals. Now, remember, the Raiders played late Sunday night in the game of the year. I mean, it was unbelievable what they were able to do. But they got to travel. It does worry me on a shorter week here. They are playing on Saturday. That does worry me. And in the end, I think it's just going to be too much to overcome. That, I don't know if you guys saw that game, Matt. That game was unbelievable. And by the way, the Raiders are yet another team in the playoffs who are basically better on the road than they are at home. They are 5-3 on the road, very competitive. Where the Bengals, as I said, have had some bad losses. But I'm going to pick the Bengals because they just have more firepower.
So you mentioned that there's always a team that we don't expect that makes a run. Who is your team? Do you have a dark horse pick then if it's not the Raiders?
I do. I'm going to pick it in the NFC, the one team that I think is so loaded. And I know people like to hate, they love to hate the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are so good on both sides of the football. The only issue I have is Dak Prescott has not played at a particularly high level. Now, he played great against the Eagles, but the Eagles played their JV team, so they didn't care. They didn't even try in that game. They were basically playing all backups and treating like a preseason game. But they're a team that's capable of absolutely making a run. Arizona, I don't know what their problem is. They're just so up and down. San Francisco's been a nice story. We could also talk about them, but they don't have enough firepower. But I would say the sleeper team for me, if you want to call one, they are the three seed, so it's hard to call them that. But a team that not enough people are talking about who can make a run would be the Cowboys.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Okay, the second game on Saturday, also in the AFC, Patriots at Bills. Who you got here?
Yeah, and the Bills really handled. They bounced back for that win game at home where Mac Jones only threw the ball three times. So that's not going to be the case this time. He's going to have to throw the football. And the Bills are playing really well right now. Their defense is playing well. I just think the Patriots will have trouble scoring. I'm definitely going to pick the Bills here. They're the better football team.
Okay, so then on Sunday, the early game at noon, Eagles at Bucks. You know the Eagles very well. Can they hang with Tampa?
Well, they got to be able to run the football. That's their bread and butter. And the Bucks have a top three run defense. It'll be hard for them. The Bucks handled the Eagles in the first game. They were up 28-7, played soft coverage. The Eagles scored two touchdowns late, but the game wasn't really that close. And they were playing without a bunch of players, the Bucks, in that matchup. Both their starting outside corners, they're back. They didn't play in that game. They'll win. They'll win by 10 or more. The Eagles are a great story because no one had any expectations they could make the playoffs, but they benefited winning 7 out of 9 against a really soft schedule in the second half. Give them credit. Hey, they did what they're supposed to do, and they got in. Great story, but their season will end after this Sunday.
Now, to your point, Philadelphia 0-6 versus playoff teams this season.
Go.
And so you're picking the Cowboys to beat the 49ers.
Yep. I know that the sexy pick is the Niners. I'm going to pick the better team, the Cowboys.
You got the Chiefs by 2 touchdowns over the Steelers. That leaves us with the Monday Night Football matchup, Cardinals at Rams. Who wins this game?
Yeah, I got to pick an upset here, and I'm going to. I don't trust the Rams. I don't know what their problem is. They're not playing great. They choked that game last week, up 17-0, and it looked like it was going to be a massacre. And the Niners fought back and had a great win. I give them credit. I was talking to the Niners before the game. One 49ers person told me that Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback, looked just as good as he did before the thumb injury, which is hard to believe because he's playing with a fracture and a ligament damage in his right thumb, but he did a great job. But I'm going to pick an upset here. I know the Cardinals are also Jekyll and Hyde. They worry me. I got to pick an upset. This is my upset special. The Cardinals, and the J.J. Watt might play, by the way. I don't know how much he could do if he plays, but he might play, and that certainly would help them emotionally.
I think that's a perfect upset special because the way the Cardinals finish the season off makes everybody probably write them off, right? I mean, it's that would be perfect NFL for a team that's been falling apart like them to all of a sudden find something in the postseason. Why do you think they have fallen apart the way they have down the stretch?
They had some injury at corner. They were out without two of their top three corners for a couple weeks. That hurt them. But offensively, they were just not in sync. They had some injuries at running back. I think that hurt them. And remember DeAndre Hopkins being out. That to me, they don't know exactly when he's going to be back from his surgery. The further they go, the better chances he'll be back. But and that would worry me for this matchup. But, you know, A.J. Green's looked good. Christian Kirk, another receiver's on the finding of his rookie contract. He's looked good. Zach Ertz has come alive at tight end. They still have enough firepower. The problem is, though, defensively, they've been inconsistent. But the Rams, folks, they're such a Jekyll and Hyde team. They're capable of making a deep run. And they're also capable of losing, which I'm going to do this week. I'm going to pick them, the Cardinals, in the upset special.
All right, Adam, before we let you go, Eric Bieniemy, we've heard that maybe there's some interest from the Broncos and the Vikings. And also the Vikings requested permission to interview Chiefs Director of Player Personnel Ryan Poles for their GM job. So if you're looking to try to pair up a GM and a head coach that would work well together, maybe Ryan Poles and Eric Bieniemy. Do you think either Ryan Poles or Eric Bieniemy get a GM or head coaching position this cycle?
Yeah, I'm glad he asked about Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles is one of those guys who's going to be a GM if it's in this cycle, whether it's next year. He's going to be a GM. He's highly thought of, very sharp guy. He's one of those next younger GM candidates who everyone in the league knows he's going to be a GM. He's just really good at his job, very well-respected, well-liked. As far as Bieniemy, yeah, his best way might be to be teamed up with Ryan Poles. I mean, that certainly is one that could happen. We'll have to see. These GMs, they typically will have a list of guys that they like around the league, including obviously Eric Bieniemy. And I mean, we're all rooting for Eric to get a job here. There's no question about it. And by the way, Mike Kafka might get a look at as a OC calling the plays somewhere else. I know there's some interest in him. We'll see what happens. Remember now there. They're technically 7 openings if you include the Raiders because they have an interim head coach. And the Joe Judge story, you know, that one was delayed a day, but that happened. So that's yet another opening. And what's been a tumultuous couple of days here in the National Football League.
I read somewhere that Doug Peterson perhaps might be telling teams that his offensive coordinator would be Matt Nagy. Does that sound right?
Matt's a guy that, because here's why, he knows the Andy Reid system. That's Matt's specialty. He's really the only system that he knows. The two obviously were very close. We've known each other very, very well. Press Taylor will be on his list. Press Taylor is was the pass game coordinator for the Eagles. He's now with the Colts as a senior assistant on offense. He'd be a guy that, from what I understand, would join Doug's list. He's got a list of other coaches. Doug will get – Doug, I mean, he's interviewing for four jobs here. You would have to think he'd get one. He's a Super Bowl winner. So the fact of the matter is he's highly qualified, and he should get another shot.
Final question. If you were a head coach and you could pick any of these jobs that are open pick your own team, which one is the best opening?
I would probably say Chicago, just because Justin Fields is highly thought of. That's a good roster. They made the playoffs the previous season. Miami, the problem is not a lot of people like Tua. It's a good roster, but it's based on their defense is based on the scheme that they run, so that becomes a problem. I would say that people really like the head coach candidates I spoke with really like the Chicago job because Justin Fields is pretty good. You've got pretty patient ownership. The Jaguars job also is good, but the problem is the general manager. I know there's some candidates that they want their own guy, so we'll see what happens.
Adam, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you.
That's Adam Kaplan. That does sound good. Talking to him next week, because that means the Chiefs have advanced, and we'll be talking about who the Chiefs would be playing in the divisional round. Adam Kaplan, follow him at Kaplan NFL is his handle on Twitter. We'll be right back after this with Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.